Ever thought about we could plan stuff out and it never quite goes the way it's supposed to? But man, God just showed me something sitting there, just with a little 5 minutes that Earl just gave me. So believe it or not, for the third time in 2 weeks, we're going to go to 2 Samuel 11. Like I said, Tommy, watch this. This is interesting. We talked about this morning, and then last Sunday evening, we had a visitor, and he hit on it too. Well, we all know that when we go and we read, we all see things differently, we all read it differently, we get different things out of it, and every time you go back to it, you hear something different again. The Bible's always showing you something new. So in three different ways, there's three different times that some of this story has come out in different ways. But before I get into that, let me pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to be up here, Lord. I ask you to calm my nerves, Lord, and ask you to help me just sift through this message, Lord. I know I have 15 minutes, and I want to make sure that whatever I'm saying, Lord, that you approve it. I want you to get me out of the way. If there's anything between you and me, Lord, just forgive me for it. Get it out of the way for me, Lord, and just ask that you use me as a vessel just to speak through me, Lord. I just thank you for everything that you've done and that you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so in 2 Samuel 11, I'm just going to read 2 through 6. Just a fresh reminder, and it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. And she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned to her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." David sent Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. Now, for the sake of time, you know, we all know what's going to happen here. There's going to be different ways in which David's going to try to hide what he has done. And eventually, it's going to lead to the death of Uriah. So we know David. And even now, we look at him as, you know, one of the most important figures in the Bible. His stories are inspiring. It's motivating. You know, you have him versus Goliath. He's always been that figure, and we said this morning, he's the best type of, one of the best types of Jesus in the Bible. But he stumbled. Yeah. In one swipe, he coveted Bathsheba, he committed adultery, stole it from Uriah, and ended up having him murdered. Keep that in mind, and I want you to go to 1 Kings real quick, 1 Kings 19. I'm going to show you another figure. We know Elijah. We know the miraculous experiences that he was surrounded by, what he was able to bring forth. He caused rain to stop for 3 years. He witnessed resurrection. He called fire down from heaven. He did all these amazing things. He had God around him and on him. It was all over. What ended up happening was, if we go into 19, I'll just go 1 through 6 here. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one and of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. The boy took off and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and there was a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. Here's another one who clearly had God on him and fell. But he fell in a different way. This one, it wasn't necessarily the fact that he did anything wrong. This one got discouraged.
Yeah.
So my point, I never do the whole title thing. If I were to go about a title for this, is failure doesn't have to be fatal.
Amen.
There is a way to climb out of the slump. To kind of speed things up, like I said, I know we have 15 minutes here, and we're not going to keep running through, but we're going to bring up Paul real quick. We know Paul. You know, he was a terror in the early church. He approved the murder of Stephen. It was his business to destroy the church until chapter 9 of Acts. Trusting Christ later in his life is something that a lot of us have done today. I can say that I did it. It took me until my 20s to realize that I needed Jesus. Trusting Christ later in life makes you no less of a Christian. It makes you feel unqualified for service at times, but the gospel is so powerful that the transformation becomes your testimony to God's amazing grace. And so Brother Earl just said a little bit ago about there are people that he can reach that maybe Alex can't. Or there might be people that I can reach that maybe my wife can't, or vice versa. Reason being is because we've all been given different testimonies for different reasons. Amen. We've been given an opportunity to connect with different people on different levels for different reasons. Yep. You know, so the idea of even some of pastors' past, even some of Brother Mike's past, you know, completely different worlds in a way. But look at us. We're all here for the same cause, and it's Christ. Amen. So one of the last guys I want to mention was Peter. Obviously, one of Jesus' closest friends and confidants, only disciple willing to trust to walk on the water and to call Jesus the Christ and the Son of God. Jesus told Peter he would deny him, and Peter said never. So what is Peter doing? He is denying that he was going to be denying. Yeah. Peter kind of goes hand in hand with denial in a way. Check this out. This is interesting. So sure enough, he did deny him three times. We know that. Even so, Peter was the first of the 12 Jesus appeared to. Peter goes on to lead the disciples, preaching the first evangelical message where 3,000 souls were saved in Acts chapter 2. Amen. Here's the point to that one. Your failure doesn't disqualify you. It's what you do after that defines you.
That's right.
So if we go through each of these four, there's something to remember when we're going, when we're looking at today. We have this virus going on. Everybody's been all scared about that. And, you know, the best way to explain that is the way that I see this, when you're locked in like that and you're having fear shoved down your throat, whatever the case, if you allow it to, then what's going to happen is you're going to get soft. You're going to be pliable.
Yeah.
And so look what happened to everybody. Look at the country. Look at what went on. Everybody, as soon as this virus started coming out, everybody started getting soft, started getting complacent, started not listening to the appropriate things, started falling, like maybe David, or maybe they got discouraged, like Elijah. Maybe your past got in the way. Maybe it showed back up and tried to get in your way, yeah, like Paul.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're denying the fact that God's calling you to do something in the midst of all this. So when you go through each of these, you got to remember kind of where you are and where your walk is. David had a lack of focus. When he saw what he saw, he got distracted. We need to pay attention. What ended up happening with David, when Nathan called him out, he repented. That's why when you look further into this, still to this day, you can still look at David as probably one of the best figures to follow, one of the most inspiring stories in the Bible. When you look at Elijah, he got discouraged. Look at today. Look at everything around us. Are you not discouraged yet? Because let's be honest. I've been discouraged. You can't do anything. You can't flip through a channel on the radio. You can't do anything with TV unless you're looking and have your head shoved in this Bible at this point. Whether it be friends, family, whoever, somebody's going to bring up this discouraging mess that's going on. You're going to hear it. You're going to see it. You're going to be involved in it. There's no way around it. So what do you do with it? You could do like Elijah did. Regroup and go again. You know, when you're in a fight like that, the best way you can say, I mean, picture a physical fight. I can know a lot of guys, we joke around about boxing and stuff, and I know that's why you got the TVs. I know it's about Mike Tyson. Anyway, but no, so a lot of the guys, we're all talking about, you know, we have a conversation about the different fighting and things, right? Well, think about a fighter. If he takes a shot in the jaw, what's going to happen? Most likely, he's going to take a knee or he's going to fall. But he's got a choice. He either stays down for the count, or you wipe it off, you stand back up, and you make sure he don't hit you again. Choice is yours. Are you going to get hit again or not? So you regroup. And you go again.
Amen.
With Paul, again, your past. It doesn't control you anymore. You know, you have all this stuff going on. And sure, like you said, I mean, there are plenty of people that I can think of all through my past. I'm sure all you guys can too. That I look back and see the person you used to be and be like, there's no way. There's nothing different. There's no way that he's going to come out of whatever he used to be or she used to be. That's not true. That's a combination between your past and the discouragement. You're saved. And all of a sudden, you ended up seeing the biggest thing that could have happened to you when it comes to trying to help anybody else. Your past became your strength and testimony for Christ. As negative as it was, look at what you can do with it. Amen. With Peter, denial. You can't sell yourself short. God can still use you, and he's not done with you yet. Trust God, and he can still use you. That's right. Here's the question with your denial. Which way are you denying Christ at this point? If you're saved, you could be denying his calling. Are things not going right? Are you distracted? Are you confused? Have you been discouraged? Is something that you were hoping was going to work out not working out? Are you in as well? Amen. If you're not saved, that's part of the problem right there. If you don't know him the way you're supposed to know him, if you don't know that he died for you on the cross and that he did it to resolve all your sins, to save you from hell, then there's your starting point. So when you look at things at this point, there's four ways that I want to try to encourage you, and I'll step out of the way. You stay focused. Amen. You have a job to do. Be a witness to the generation that probably has never even been witnessed to. You see that all over the TV. You see thousands of people walking through the streets, burning stuff, destroying stuff for something they don't even know what they're doing it for. It's not what they think they're doing it for. It's not why they're doing it. They're being misled. Why? Because they're following the wrong God. Show them which God's real. Don't get discouraged. That's the adversary's goal. News can be discouraging. Current events can be discouraging. Your past can be discouraging. We've got to remember the Lord's already won this fight. Amen. When you're being led by someone who doesn't know how to lose, you're undefeated already. So why not fight? Your past does not disqualify you from making your change today. That's your testimony. It's not your excuse. A lot of people use, I'll never be able to do what this guy has done, that guy's done. I've been guilty of it too, man. When I first started in here, I look at Pastor, I've seen Brother Mike, Brother Jesse, George was a big one for me. I would never be able to know the Bible the way they do, man. I could never lead the way that they lead. Don't sell yourself short.
That's right.
Don't sell yourself short.
Amen, bro. Amen.
Last thing, four words, put your pride away. Stop denying what God's called you to do. You think, well, if God's called you to do, yeah, you can something you'd be proud of. Think about it. What is pride? Pride is what's going on outside. Pride is the burning and the looting. Pride is what all you see on TV. It is the politics. It is the garbage. And honestly, you're seeing it in a lot of pulpits nowadays. It's all pride. It's all about me. I'm not going to sing the song. He'll do it. But okay, seriously, but that's what we're seeing. It's all pride. When you put your pride away, when it stops being about you and you start making it for him, if you don't know what God's called you to do, you're going to find out. Put your pride away. Stay focused. Don't get discouraged. Your past doesn't disqualify you. Keep your pride away.
Amen.
Listen to the call.